are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Friday, November the 27th, and Fridays with Brian, looking back a little bit on a whirlwind week. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, the sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well.
And I'm brother Brian, and I once jokingly told Chauncey Billups he and a group of Pistons could come to my restaurant after it closed if Detroit won, and he took me up on that offer a week later.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Pistons podcast. Thanks for spreading the word to all your friends and family whose interest might be piqued about what they're hearing about the Detroit Pistons these last couple weeks. There's been some good, there's been some bad, there's been some plumly, there's been some things that have happened with this team that are no doubt interesting. The debates are raging, but I think it's kind of, in some ways, time to move on a little bit and start talking about the on-court product. But today we're going to let Brian have his say about what he's looking forward to as training camp approaches. We are also going to go back a little bit. There was so much Fast and Furious stuff that from a league-wide perspective, we're going to step back and say the NBA draft. Brian spent a lot of time looking at a lot of these prospects and thinking about who might make sense for the Detroit Pistons, but who did he like for other teams? What kind of moves did he like and maybe not like as the draft went on? Also talk about some of the signings, some of the free agent stuff that was good and bad. And we also have a contest winner to unveil a little bit later on in the show, who's going to be rocking the fresh Killian Hayes jersey this year. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons Dash. Matt Shook, follow Play Michigan, Play_Michigan. That's the PlayMichigan.com online gambling account for all the news you need there. And give Brian a follow on Twitter at BShook12. So that's all the promos. Let's get into it. No news, really, since the last time we talked on Wednesday's show with the Pistons. So much more coming up, getting ready for training camp. We'll be talking next week about this roster a little bit more, the loose ends that need to be taken care of. Allegedly, training camp is supposed to start on Tuesday. So hard to believe, but Tuesday training camp in Detroit. But things happened so quickly these last 10 days. We're going to step back here, but I do want to let Brian have his take. As you look ahead to training camp and what this roster kind of looks like, Brian, we talked before the show. There's something that you think is really kind of conducive for training camp, conducive to the behind the scenes, the practice type of stuff that might be something that Pistons fans could look forward to.
I think the main thing that I see when I look at this roster is how much competition there's going to be for playing minutes. And you've got a good mix of pros, your guys like Blake Griffin, Derrick Rose, Mason Plumlee. I know that's not a name that is really conducive with what you think the long-term planning should be with this team. But at the end of the day, you know exactly what you're getting with Mason Plumlee. He's a steady guy that can hold the position down until Isaiah Stewart is ready, if he ever does become ready. But you've got to look at 3 years down the road. And if the goal is at this point with this roster, you're starting Isaiah Stewart, Sekou, Jeremy Grant, Sadiq Bey, and Killian Hayes, you need to, these next 2 years, forge those guys in fire. And I think what they've done is taken some low-cost flyers on some guys who either haven't lived up to their potential because they haven't had the opportunity, or this is their last opportunity to show that they have some legs in the NBA, in their NBA careers, or a mixture of both with some of these guys. I'm talking about Josh Jackson's, your Wrights, Jean and Musa, and Jeremy Grant to some extent. Obviously, he's a little further along, but it would help him to be in this environment of competition where there aren't any minutes that are necessarily guaranteed to anybody outside of, you know, Griffin's and Rose's and Grant because of the contract he signed. But, you know, they're going to be at a premium. And if Josh Jackson wants to show that he belongs in this league, he's going to have to beat Wayne Ellington, Sadiq Bey, Svi, Jean and Musa to get those minutes. And if he swims, that's great. And if he swims well enough, then you can flip those success stories for assets, or you can help them along as they continue to grow. Or if they don't, they're not going to sink your roster, and you're not financially, you know, beholden to them for, you know, much more than next year in most of these cases.
Yeah, and, you know, Dwayne Casey's going to like that part of it, too. That's kind of tailor-made for him. And I promise you that Mason Plumlee, as we move on towards the season, will become a player and a man that we will talk about and not necessarily a contract. So you're not going to be – we're not going to go on and on and on about the contract, which we'll talk a little bit more about as time goes on. But I promise it won't be every day here with that. But let's start with the draft here, as Brian did a lot of the research for us, as you know, with the NBA draft profiles, and then look back at Saben Lee and Isaiah Stewart this week as well during the shows earlier this week. I'm going to start with a pick. We're not talking about the Pistons picks today, but given that we spend a lot of time talking about these guys, it's just kind of funny because we spend so much time talking about these guys and then we just drop all the guys that aren't picked by the Pistons and forget about them forever. But I wanted to take a little minute to reflect on it here. I'll give you one pick that I liked a lot. And of course, the guys that we talked about that we liked before the draft are going to be a lot of the picks that we liked, because that's just how that works. But especially falling all the way down to number 21, I really liked Tyrese Maxey to the Philadelphia 76ers. That's just like Daryl Morey coming in, knowing his fan base, knowing his city, seeing how a guy will be like a big-time performer in big games. He did it at Madison Square Garden for Kentucky, a team that needs point guard help. I mean, Shake Milton is one of their main point guards right now. And no, you can't give Maxey the keys on day one, but I think that Maxey will be a guy who's ready to play and be ready to make big plays in playoff games. I think that DNA fits for Philly and the Kentucky star.
One that I really liked, I'm not going to go as far down as you did with this first one, but in the top 10, somebody that fell and is going into a situation with some tumult in Washington was Denny Avdia. I think, you know, he's the most complete scorer and probably, in my opinion, the most complete player in this draft on day one. And him going into Washington, where there's a soap opera unfolding in that backcourt, obviously it doesn't sound like Beal and Wall want to play together, can play together, whatever it is. Avdia will be there to hopefully, you know, provide some scoring for them and give them, you know, some more options to look at the market for, whether it's John Wall or Bradley Beal, but it sounds like one of those guys has to go.
Here's another one for me. I like at 24, and keep in mind, this is originally the Milwaukee Bucks pick. So this was the Malcolm Brogdon pick, sign and trade from last year that ended up with Indiana. And so the Bucks at 24 draft RJ Hampton. He ends up roundabout through the Pelicans, ends up with the Denver Nuggets. So RJ Hampton pick 24 and is going to Denver. I think this is a team that kind of smartly took a step back. They hope that Michael Porter Jr. ends up kind of replacing Jeremy Grant's value, a little bit different of a player, obviously, but maybe there's a little bit more upside offensively there, adding it as a legitimate, you know, every night third scorer to that group there. And I think that RJ Hampton's kind of a worthy swing, especially when you get to 24 and those kind of numbers, a player that the Pistons passed up a couple times. We'll see if that ends up being something they regret later. Denver also brings in JaMychal Green for some of Grant's minutes as well. So Denver doesn't really tie themselves up too much. They lose Plumlee, they lose Grant, two useful players, obviously, and players that you'd rather have than not have. And we'll see how they flourish in Detroit in bigger roles, but we'll also see how they backfill some of those minutes and some of those opportunities in Denver. And I think kind of taking that half a step back and saying, man, the Lakers are damn good. We might not beat them this year anyway. Let's see how Michael Porter Jr. and RJ Hampton kind of do down the line, guys like that, and giving JaMychal Green some of those minutes right away. I think it's a nice little plan they got going.
Here's one that you knew I had to bring up. We're going to go down to New Orleans. They get a King's ransom for Drew Holiday, and there's a big hole at point guard, and at 13, who falls in their lap is Kyra Lewis. It's somebody I've loved since watching him for the first time. Get a load of this. You know, seven-man rotation they have down there now. They've got Zion, Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Kyra, Eric Bledsoe, Steven Adams, and J.J. Redick, you know, for Stan Van Gundy and his guys. And I feel they kind of fleeced Milwaukee, somebody who I don't like what they've done this offseason. I don't know that it's going to be enough to keep Giannis. We had the whole Bogdanovich, you know, fiasco that happened with them. But, you know, they get Drew Holiday. We'll see if that's enough that makes Giannis want to stay. But I think New Orleans really cashed in on their desire to make that happen and try to make the moves to keep Giannis staying. So getting the return they got, leaving that hole at point guard and being able to fill it with who I think is going to be the best point guard coming out of this draft to work with young stars like Zion and Brandon Ingram. And you look at Lonzo, who is obviously, you know, at this point a primary ball handler, but he isn't necessarily somebody who's aggressive in attacking on the offensive end. And I think that's the role that Kyra is going to be able to fill for them.
And a quick second round flyer that both of us liked. I'm going to go first here and just throw out Paul Reed from DePaul. I watched a little bit of DePaul this year because Romeo Weems from New Haven ended up playing with them, so got to watch the Blue Demons a little bit this year. And he falls all the way to number 58 with the Philadelphia 76ers, a kind of a four, modern four, basically, who was very productive in college. And again, the 76ers, and I'm not, you know, he's 58th pick of the draft. He's not going to the Hall of Fame, but I think he's going to be a guy who has a chance to play some minutes for the Philadelphia 76ers. And again, Daryl Morey, as maybe it's a tough time that I give him a little bit. And I think that Daryl Morey is very good. I just think he's a little bit overrated in the basketball community. That's all. But yeah, I really like the Maxey pick, and I like Paul Reed at 58.
A couple of slots ahead of him is Cassius Stanley out of Duke at 54. It was actually the player I was hoping the Pistons were kind of targeting with that 38th pick that they ended up using on Sabin Lee. But I think the Indiana Pacers got a stud here. I really thought, if you watch the tape, the differences between him and Patrick Williams, who went number four, were actually kind of negligible. Now, the ceiling may be higher on the perimeter game that Patrick Williams brings, possibly, but the athleticism, the speed, and the ability to just jump out of the gym, Cassius Stanley is going to make a lot of fans in Indiana, and I hope he isn't haunting the Detroit Pistons for years to come.
And let's go after the break here and talk about a couple of the picks that we did not like from the NBA draft, and then get into more of the open discussion about the rest of the wild free agency period and some of the trades out there as well. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, and I'm living up to my word. I've already made my next Built Bar order. I'm taking advantage of this offer, and I want to tell you guys about it right now. Black Friday, dreaming of a white Christmas with Built Bar, introducing the all-new white chocolate bar while supplies last. You got the white chocolate cookies and cream, 130 calories, 17 grams of protein, 5 grams of sugar. Also, the white chocolate salted caramel. Great stuff there. You get 2 free candy cane brownie bars with every item's purchase. So I purchased 4 items, so they're going to give me 8 free candy cane brownie bars. 25% off all products all weekend long. Go to BuiltBar.com and get 25% off for Black Friday. Plus, don't forget to use the promo code LOCKED to get an extra percent off. Cyber Monday only as well. Dreaming of a white Christmas, it continues. They got the white chocolate cherry sundae and the white chocolate coconut deluxe. These are great flavors. I'm looking forward to trying them, but they've got the seal of approval from Built Bar. 2 free candy cane brownie bars with every item purchased on Cyber Monday as well. Those are while supplies last. 25% off all products, plus receive 1 free advent calendar with every purchase. The 12 Built Bites, 12 months of savings. Go to BuiltBar.com and get 25% off for Black Friday. Plus, don't forget to use the promo code LOCKED to get an extra percent off.
Yes, sir!
All right, we got Brother Brian joining us, as he does on Fridays with Brian. He also joins us most every Tuesday, but sometimes we flip that around. But the Almost Legends series, that's continuing, the Bonafide Legends series these last few weeks as well. And another series coming up, the Meet a Piston series, because we got to get the name tags out, figure out who these guys are, and Brian's going to do some deep dives. Some guys I legitimately had never heard of. Anthony Lamb, I don't know anything about him. Looking forward to learning some stuff about young Anthony Lamb. But, Brian, we're talking draft here. I'll let you start. Give me a pick or two that you really didn't like on draft night.
One that steps out, and everybody seems to love it in New York, Obi Toppin. I think the amount of pressure that's going to be on this guy, he'll live up to initially, but I just think he's as close to his ceiling as just about anybody in this draft. So while this first year, he may win Rookie of the Year, and he's really going to excite New York Knicks fans probably initially. But eventually, I think that career is going to kind of level out and be a very good career. But I think the Knicks fans and the Knicks organization are probably putting too much pressure on him to be kind of the savior of that franchise.
Yeah, I think they're, and maybe rightfully so in some ways, they're going for a little bit of sizzle in New York. And I think that Obi Toppin might provide some of that. You know, they've got the connections with CAA, the connections with Kentucky and John Calipari. So it might be part of kind of a larger plan of bringing in these high profile types of players. And Obi Toppin certainly going to be a highlight reel guy and someone who's certainly productive too. So yeah, we will see how Leon Rose and that guy, everything works out in New York. But a pick that I don't like was the Cleveland Cavaliers at number five, taking Isaac Okoro. And I know it's easy to be ripping on the same 5 to 7 teams in the league over and over again. And I know that it's easy because we happen to cover one of those teams and everyone's kind of getting their shots off on teams like the Cleveland Cavaliers and Detroit Pistons at times. But I think that Isaac Okoro is a culture pick for a team that needs a talent pick. And I think that this is a third straight draft where they took a player that I kind of like, but several spots earlier than I'd be interested to in them with Garland and Sexton being the last couple of years. Now, you look at their roster, they have bigs with Andre Drummond and Kevin Love. They have guards, point guards, especially with Sexton and Garland there. So they need wings and they need defense. Well, Isaac Okoro is a wing who plays defense, but I just think it's too early in the process to be picking need and to look at your overall roster and say, we need this position, we need this type of player. I think a team like Cleveland, and really, I don't think that rebuild's going very well at all. And I think this is a team that is going to need to press the reset button again before they get things right anytime here in the medium-term future. So to me, I love Isaac Okoro a lot about his game, but I have questions about the offensive ability and the shot. And I just wonder if at number five, you could have maybe found a more upside type of talent, really like an Obi Toppin, like we talked about there, or a Denny Avdia, guys that you could see possibly becoming impact players in a major way, not just on the defensive end. So that's my take on anyone else that you want to throw out there, or do we want to kind of not rip on teenagers any much longer than we
right. I think we're good on the ripping of very recently minor people.
Right. I also wanted to point out that I said, you know, all these press clippings that were negative about the Pistons, there was some positive ones that came out. I wanted to highlight here the Ringer, Dan Devine, the great writer for them, talked that really kind of gave a nice defense of not a complete defense of Troy Weaver, but really kind of upon further review, talked about how, you know, the line that Mason Plumlee should really help out Killian Hayes in terms of being an efficient partner in the two-man game, quote to Dan Devine. My question is, when Killian Hayes goes to the Hall of Fame, like, will Mason Plumlee be on like half of the plaque, like, or will it be like a third of the plaque? Like, how much credit are we gonna? You know, maybe I shouldn't get into it, but I've never heard so much talk about how a Mason Plumlee type can help a young point guard go forward. But anyway, let's move on. Let's go around the league to some signings that you love, Brian, around the league, or maybe some trades. What did you really like the team doing out there?
Before we get to that, we have to get you and Mason Plumlee at a bar one night having some drinks, and you can hash this out.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. Well, I think it needs to happen for your health at this point.
It's too bad. It's unfortunate because obviously it's a Duke guy. You know, it's like all the ingredients that you could possibly want. You know, kind of like a one of those not super skilled players that has gotten through the league a little bit clumsily, overpaid on his last contract. Obviously he's doing something right because you get teams to commit this money. But again, we're going to talk more about Mason Plumlee as a player and as a member of the Detroit Pistons, and hopefully that happens sooner rather than later. Yeah,
we're going to get you. We'll get your dinner reservations ready at some point. Sure. Okay, but back to the question about what some
check. He's got $25 million, so I think he's got that. Jesus.
All right. Well, some teams that I liked what they did this offseason, the direction that they seem to be taking. Well, I mean, off top of the bat, the defending champion Lakers, you know, some of the discounts they were able to get with some of these players like Montrezl Harrell that signed for, I think, significantly less than a lot of people expected to switch locker rooms there in Los Angeles. And, I keeping KCP and Markieff Morris, adding Marc Gasol, I know it's not, you know, all-star Marc Gasol, but it's somebody who, you know, is going to be able to eat up minutes and, you know, perform well enough, you know, to give Anthony Davis a couple minutes off here and there. grabbing Dennis Schroeder and Wesley Matthews too, kind of a little under the radar. I think those were all great reloading moves for that team, and I, you know, they've got to be at the top of the list of favorites going into next year.
What's interesting about a lot of those guys are, like, especially Schroeder, especially Wesley Matthews, like, these are guys that can get their own a little bit too, which kind of is smart, because you expect that at some point LeBron gets less and less usage as time goes on, and that maybe you do start relying on Schroeder to get big buckets as opposed to, you know, the Rondos of the world who are going to be, I guess it's kind of similar. I guess Schroeder's like a better and younger version of Rondo in some ways, especially offensively. But I think that that's kind of a nice way that they're being, they're understanding where their best player is headed in his direction of his career, and that he might need some help. And especially, you know, Wesley Matthews is going to guard a lot of the top defensive players on the wing. That takes maybe that responsibility off of LeBron a little bit. I agree with you. I like what the Lakers did. I had the Harrell move written down as one I really liked. And actually, my three of my favorite moves, and this is going to – I'm sure the it might sound a little hypocritical, but there were all three two-year $19 million deals, so basically the entire mid-level exception. And that was Montrezl Harrell to the Lakers, Serge Ibaka to the Clippers to replace Montrezl Harrell, and then Tristan Thompson to the Boston Celtics. Now you're sitting here thinking, well, what's the difference between 2 years 19 and 3 years 25 for Mason Plumlee? Well, first of all, that's the entire mid-level exception. So you got to spend that money. You can't use the mid-level exception in any other ways than to sign players. So it's a bit of a different situation than using your cap space. Plus, 2 years 19, especially when you're talking about Ibaka 31, Plumlee 30, you'd rather give a guy a two-year $19 million deal than a three-year $25 million deal, because he might be stuck on your roster for 2 years if there's injury issues in year one. Plus, you like to have that guy on that walk year as quick as possible. So Ibaka to the Clippers, I think that that is a team that kind of needed a little bit of that dude. And I think that Serge Ibaka, you know, he's got time tested in the playoffs. He's won the championship with Toronto, a guy that's well regarded around the league, and adds a little bit of a toughness factor to that team. Harrell, while I like Harrell, the defense was an issue against Jokic and into the playoffs as well. And certainly the bubble was kind of a disaster for Harrell. We understand he had some personal things and injuries going on as well. But I kind of like Harrell in that he's going to give more offense to the Lakers too. So while maybe he might not be in their closing five in a lot of different scenarios for them, I think he's going to be a little bit more of a dynamic scorer, which could, again, help LeBron, especially when you're thinking about what kind of workload they're going to be putting on LeBron in the regular season. And Tristan Thompson to the Celtics, I've been talking about the Celtics needing a better center and better bigs in general for the past several years. I think that's kind of proven to be the truth. And for them to give a little bit of an investment to shore up Daniel Theis with Tristan Thompson, you get rid of Cantor, you get rid of Poirier, and you have a legitimate two centers, and you can rotate their minutes. And I think that Tristan Thompson is a nice mid-level value there. And again, what's different in also about the Pistons and about the Clippers and the Lakers and the Celtics using their mid-level, these are teams that are championship contenders, right, that need that last the resurgent or that influx of a little bit more productive minutes. And I think that those guys at those numbers and the types of players they are really fit those teams well. So I really like those three signings.
And one also that I wanted to mention too, it was kind of a little later on the night on Friday, I believe, joining Chris Paul, Booker and Ayton on Phoenix with Jay Crowder for about $10 million a year, which I think really kind of shores up that team as, you know, one that in the bubble obviously got a taste of, you know, a fleeting success, unfortunately for them, as it wasn't quite enough going undefeated in the bubble to advance. But getting somebody like Crowder really shores up that starting lineup. And they've got players like now Langston Galloway coming off the bench. They reached a little in the draft for Jalen Smith, but, you know, it looks like that franchise kind of has a plan in place to at least keep Booker around. Would be, I guess, the first hurdle that they're trying to jump at this point. But I really like that Crowder move, bringing him into the mix in Phoenix.
Yeah, it's a really interesting time for the Phoenix Suns because, like you said, you got Booker that you want to keep around if possible. And you're kind of thinking about how do we turn ourselves from this, you know, nice young pieces to playoff team and try to sustain that success. You obviously don't want to go overboard with bringing in, you know, role players for big money. So yeah, that's a team that's going to be really interesting to watch next year. Let's talk about some individual signings we hate. I'm going to skip Gordon Hayward. I know everyone's dunked on Gordon Hayward, and I think if he's healthy, there's worse things you can do as a team in Charlotte who's trying to sell some tickets. And it's like, it's kind of like their Blake Griffin move in some ways, I believe. And of course, when you look at the number by number, some of these moves that stand out, and we haven't compared our lists, but the Marcus Morris, Davis Bertāns, and Joe Harris, I kind of put all those in the same category as re-signing guys with capped out teams that really didn't have too many options, and that they kind of were. Now, Bertāns and some of his injury issues in the past, that might hurt them, but it's tough to compare those types of moves with players changing teams and teams targeting those certain players and giving them money on the open market.
Yeah, I agree with that. But can we finally talk about this Mason Plumlee deal? No, I'm joking. I'm not getting either of that one. Yeah, right. I get Bertāns was at the top of my list of I'm not sure what exactly was going on there, but one that I questioned, and I liked a lot of the moves that Portland did, but the Rodney Hood re-signing coming off the injury, I felt that was, you know, they might have overpaid a little bit for him, seeing some of the other contracts that came out after that signing.
Yeah, a couple more that I had written down here was Malik Beasley with Minnesota at 4 years, $60 million. A nice player, but 4 and 60 is a lot. And, you know, he's got some off-the-court issues right now, legal issues with some gun charges situation. You can go read about that if you want. But it to me, and maybe it's they just traded for him. He was a restricted free agent. So maybe you say, well, if we invested him in the trade, just because you did something before doesn't mean you have to do something now. And I know that maybe there was a promise to do something because of the trade that happened. But to me, that promise changes when things happen, like what has allegedly happened with Malik Beasley. So I don't love that deal. Another one that stands out, and I haven't heard anyone talk bad about this deal, and we'll see as time goes on. And it's another guy's thing with his team, so it's not exactly apples and apples when talking about unrestricted free agents changing teams. But Jordan Clarkson in Utah for 4 years, $51 million. And I know he had a very good year in Utah, but he's got a little bit of a checkered past in terms of his focus. And a guy that has never found a shot he doesn't like. And there's nothing wrong with those players necessarily. Sometimes it's a lot of times it's very good to have those types of fearless players. But to prioritize him for that money feels like a bit of a reach. It's the kind of guy that seems like, of course, he had a great year on a contract year when he's staring at a possible $50 million payday. So to me, that one kind of stands out as not great as well.
In that vein, and I kind of want to get your opinion on what they're doing down in Atlanta exactly, because they were very active this offseason here. The contract that kind of – I mean, the Bogdanović one with the offer sheet, that is kind of a little bit different. But I thought they paid quite a bit of money for Danilo Gallinari at 32 years old right now.
Yeah,
and that was a 3 years, $61.5 million deal for – I don't exactly know how he fits into Atlanta's lineup and what they're expecting of him. And again, I like that they were aggressive and they kind of reshaped their at least starting five to go around Collins and Young there. But I don't know how many basketballs they're planning on playing with to pay Danilo Gallinari $20 million a year.
And who's going to stop anyone on that team, right? I mean, I think you're digging a hole with Atlanta here where they were already a bad defensive team. And now you bring in guys that are really offensive players and you double up on those shooters. I know you want to give Trae Young some space, but and I know Okongwu's a nice pick for them too. Yep. Mm-hmm. Of course, I'm going to love that draft pick there at number six. But yeah, I agree. I think Bogdanović and Gallinari is like two luxuries that you can't necessarily afford. And from what we hear about Atlanta, it sounds like ownership is really invested into getting into the playoffs next year. And as a fan of a team, while you, of course, love hearing your team talking about winning, that's never something you really want to hear, right? That ownership wants to speed up a rebuild that's going okay. I mean, Atlanta hasn't won any kind of meaningful amount of games, but Trae Young's making strides. Cam Reddish turned into a player that looks like he's usable going forward. DeAndre Hunter still got the pedigree, didn't see much from him. But you make the Clint Capella trade. You got John Collins still kind of hanging around there. Okongwu. Yeah, I agree with you that while they're on the list of teams I'm interested in seeing what they look like, I'm also, if I'm a scorer around the league, I'm interested in playing against that team because I feel like I'm going to go for 30 that night.
Yeah, yeah. But again, you know, these teams that reshaped New Orleans, Milwaukee to an extent, Atlanta, Phoenix, you know, the Lakers didn't really reshape themselves, but kind of reloaded. There are going to be some interesting teams to watch this season just for the storylines and to see how some of these signings, you know, eventually end up getting used and working together.
Yeah, and what does the supporting cast in Milwaukee look like, right? Mm-hmm. Given that you miss out on Bogdanovich, obviously you had Drew Holiday. You kind of figure that Drew Holiday mixes with Giannis well, being the adaptable kind of player that Drew Holiday is. But what are some of these other guys that they brought in bring to the table? Specifically, Bobby Portis was a name that kind of came out of nowhere mm-hmm. with them. And bringing back Connaughton, the nice second-round pick in Jordan Nwora out of Louisville as well. DiVincenzo coming back when he was bags pretty much packed, headed to Sacramento mm-hmm. as far as we knew. So, yeah, an interesting team. And then they're going to be the talk of the NBA in kind of an annoying way all season, waiting on whatever happens with Giannis, assuming that nothing happens with the contract here in these next couple weeks. But let's talk contest and close up another great week here on the podcast. It's coming up next on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team. Every day. If you want to get basketball smart, it starts with listening to the Hollinger and Duncan podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. NBA analytics pioneer and front office insider John Hollinger joins Dunked On podcast host Nate Duncan to bring you scouting reports, game breakdowns, and salary cap analysis. Subscribe to Hollinger and Duncan today, wherever you get your podcasts. And now, without further ado, the results of the Locked On Pistons contest jersey giveaway.
Thanks a lot, Matt. So let's get down to it. The first question that we had asked you was, this player was the second leading scorer in his Georgia high school's history, despite playing only 2 years on varsity. The answer to that was Devin Vassell, who ended up going 11 to the Spurs. He's the second leading scorer in Peachtree Ridge High School from Suwanee, Georgia. The second question, this player played on a high school team with a player that was on the Pistons roster last season. The player he played with at the Ensworth School for his beginning high school basketball playing career was Jordan Bone, and that player was James Wiseman, who ended up going number 2 to the Golden State Warriors. And finally, the third clue, this player was coached in college by a former Detroit Piston All-Star. He went to Vanderbilt with Saben Lee, who did not have a draft profile. That's why he wasn't the answer to this question. It was Aaron Nesmith, who ended up going 14 to Boston. So if you add up the 11, the 2, and the 14 that those players ended up being picked at, the total was number 27. And out of all of the entries, the random number 18 was chosen by the generator. And that means Autumn Welk, whose Twitter handle is @autumn_amber, wins the Killian Hayes jersey. We'll be in contact with you on Twitter, Autumn, and congratulations.
Well, congratulations to a big Pistons fan on getting the jersey. And nothing. I don't know if they'll be able to wear it to Pistons games this year. We'll see how that all kind of shakes out, but we'll be finding out pretty soon. Brian, any other takeaways from this past week or 10 days? I've been given takes after take after take. One more chance for you to give your big impression from what happened.
What I will take away from this week in a big way is how good that 2017 draft class is and how well they are now starting to get paid. We had max deals going out to Jason Tatum, De'Aaron Fox, Bam Adebayo, Donovan Mitchell. You know, those last two were the two picks right after Luke Kennard in that draft, you know, not to beat a dead horse a little bit. But the one I looked at was De'Aaron Fox, and maybe the biggest surprise out of that bunch possibly. And, you know, it's somebody who I kind of related his game a lot to Kyra Lewis, and it's that speed, aggressive, penetrating point guard. You know, he's not the tallest guy in the world, but their games are very similar. And again, I just think that as we look back at the 2020 draft, I think if we do a redraft in a couple of years, I think Kyra jumps into that top five, you know, and the signing of De'Aaron Fox kind of validates that opinion to me at this point.
Yeah, and they lose Harry Giles. They lose Bogdanovich. Buddy Hield is still kind of out there floating right now. But obviously they're picking De'Aaron Fox and riding with him. And I'll be interested to see what kind of building they do around that. You know, you've got Marty McNair from Houston up in Sacramento, so it's a whole new kind of regime. But he's put his stake into De'Aaron Fox, and like you said, I think that's a good move for him. And we'll see how that organization shakes up as another one of the 5 to 7 organizations that's easy to take shots at here from NBA world. But that wraps up this week and this edition of Locked On Pistons. He is Brother Brian. I am Matt Shook. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Have a great holiday weekend. We'll talk to you guys on Monday.
Are we doing the fantasy draft?